Amen. Eternally grateful.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Dennis. Thank you, choir, for blessing our hearts in such a marvelous way. And thank you for the opportunity to be back in this place of a lot of joyful memories. Russellville First Baptist Church had a very special place in my heart. Some sweet memories, and some of you are very lovable. It's a warm church, and I'm glad of that. I preach in a lot of churches over the years in a lot of different states, and I've been in a couple. I forgot to bring my ice skates, and you'll get that after a while. They were so cold, if I'd have brought my ice skates, I could have skated down the aisle, you know, and had fun. Well, now that's aside. It's just good to be here. Thank you, Brother Gene, for allowing me to come and share the Word of God with you people. I'm also cognizant of the fact that there is a lunch immediately following the service today. And you may have heard the parable of the preacher who preached about an hour at homecoming or dinner on the ground, and the chicken was getting cold, and he got in the front to lead the people to the meal, and then he turned around and said, I've got one more thing to say. And after he got up and dusted himself off, he said, boy, that's quick. So I'm cognizant of that fact, okay? We'll do that. Heaven. I've studied more on heaven the last 3 or 4 weeks than I have, I guess, all of my ministry. I've read everything I could get my hands on about heaven. And so I'm running over with things also that to talk about that, but I will also, and I'm through with the jokes, but after all of that, I will remember the preacher also who was preached after he'd preached and preached and preached and said, oh, folks, I'm just so full. And a little boy said, yeah, and I about had a belly full of it too. So I'll try to keep on track to the God's Word. In Revelation chapter 21, we find some beautiful, beautiful thoughts. And I want to look at some of these, and then we're going to turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Father, thank you so very much for your precious word. Eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word shall abide forever. Every jot and tittle shall be fulfilled as you've decreed it. For you're the sovereign Lord God Almighty of the universes. You, Lord Jesus, have made us and not we ourselves. You have come to this earth to lay aside your life for us. We still can seldom grasp the depth of that love. How you would step out of the throne of glory and come and take upon yourself the form of a man, the second Adam, to undo what the first Adam had done. Oh, Lord, our God, we praise you for that amazing grace. And we thank you for all the blessings you've given us in this life. Now, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me and empty me at his discretion, that the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart might be acceptable in thy sight, and that Jesus, the Master, would be pleased. Thank you, Lord, for this I pray in your lovely name. Amen. If you'll turn now with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to share with you some of the beautiful words here, the last words of the Apostle Paul. He was in his second imprisonment in Rome. I believe he'd already been to Spain, as he had dreamed to do. I believe now that he realizes, and he says that very, very pointedly, that his time's about up. Sometimes God gives us a pre-understanding that our time is short. I've seen that happen again and again among people. And Paul knew this. Peter knew it was also about time for him to lay aside his flesh and go on to be with the Lord. But I want to look at these verses a little closely and analyze a person prepared to enter his home. Folks, this is not our home. You may live in Russellville, Alabama, but you're not. You may say, I'm an American, I'm a citizen of the United States, but that's not your home. We are aliens. Boy, I feel like one. When I watch the news sometimes, I feel like, man, I don't even know what's going on in this world. I'm an alien, so are you. Somebody said, well, do you believe that there's life other than this planet? You betcha. And it's a beautiful place. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes, first of all, to Timothy and to us. Verse 6 says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He said, the time of my departure. Where are you going, Paul? Where is it you have aspiration to journey to? What is your destination? Paul would say, well, I've spoken about it a number of times. I wrote that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going, my departure is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, what kind of place do you think it's going to be? He said, I don't think I know. He said, I've seen things. I know a guy that was called up to the third heaven, and he saw things that's uneven, unlawful to talk about. Just like Daniel was told upon a time, shut it up. It's not for others to see yet. And Paul said it was there, a glorious place. And on one occasion he said, you know, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those who love him. Paul said, my departure is toward, as Brother Gene said a moment ago, a prepared place. I'm going home. I'm going home. Well, what had his journey been like? It's a marvelous thing to share your testimony whenever you have an opportunity to do so. I think one of the most effective ways of telling people about Jesus is that personal testimony. You remember when you were saved? How's your journey been? What's some of the highlights of your walk with Jesus? What are some of the high points? And you can look back and you can say, boy, wouldn't mind that happening again. Well, what are some of your low points? Some of the points that you got so low that you didn't think you could go any lower, and Jesus lifted you up out of the muck and mire and said, it's okay. What about your journey? Paul said, I'll tell you, every Christian has a race to run. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. I've seen some young preachers think that it was a sprint and they took off as hard as they could, and as R.G. Lee said, they got where they were going so out of breath they didn't know what to do. Listen, Jesus is to be honored in everything we say and do. That's a big task. Paul had a testimony that was outstanding. You do too. But Paul's testimony was, you know, he was a young, brilliant-minded Jew. He had the mental capacity to speak five or so languages. He was a student of the Old Testament to such an extent that he knew, but he didn't know until it was revealed to him. But he was an intellectual, and he had such ambition. His ambition was to rise to the top of the ladder in Judaism. He was a defender of Judaistic teaching, and he had a heart set on being successful. There were those who were getting in his way to be successful, and he called them people who were misunderstood, or not people who didn't understand, that they were heretics and hypocrites, and they needed to be put in jail, and they needed to be killed. They needed to be got off of the face of the earth with their terrible, terrible hypocrisy of teaching about the love of God. And so he set out to do that. But he didn't go very far till God called his name. There's a wonderful thing about that too, folks. God knows your name. The devil knows your number, but God knows your name. Adrian and I just said that a long time ago. You remember? Saul? Saul? Why are you persecuting me? That had to be, well, he tried to describe it. The Bible tries to describe it, but it's an indescribable thing, what happened to him. Can you imagine what happened 14 years after that and all of the things in between? Anyway, he had a tremendous ability, but now it's turned around. And he is a man on fire for Jesus. Jesus said, Paul, your race is this. You are to be my messenger to the Gentiles all over. You're to go, you're to teach, and you're to preach. That's your assignment. That's your race. What's your race? What did God give you the ability to do as a Christian? Sing? Great. Use that voice for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have medical abilities? Fantastic. Use those medical abilities to the wonderment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a business expert? Great. Use that business expertise for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all things that he might be glorified. Are you a teacher? Wonderful. Teach as Jesus taught us to teach, for his honor and glory. Are you a leader of people? Well, lead. But lead in the method of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that's your race. God doesn't waste abilities upon us as human beings. He gives us a gift to use, our talents. And one day, he's going to ask us what we did with those talents. Now, Paul makes reference to that. And let's go on quickly because we want to go on through this. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. It's a fight, folks. If you don't believe that, you're in trouble. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darkness and all kinds of subtle things in this world. It is a fight. Even sometimes for those we trust who turn their back on us, that's a terrible thing. But it's a fight to keep on the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, also, I want you to know I've kept the faith. That means, I think, among one thing is that he's kept the word of God, but I think another thing is he kept the faith that Jesus placed in him. Dr. Ballin, when the Lord Jesus Christ called you, he said, I've got faith in you that you're going to do my work. That's a faith. You didn't fold up when somebody said something you didn't like or the things got tough. You just went on. That's faith. I have faith that's going to turn out all right. If I didn't, I'd have quit a long time ago. I promise you that. I've got faith that the Lord's going to work all of this out for our honor and glory. Hang on to Jesus. Believe that his word is true. And understand that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That he'll give you the ability to press through anything that comes this way because it has to pass by him before it comes to you. And if he says, I will allow that child of mine to go through the darkest of dark periods, okay. For he said, I'll be with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there with you. And lo, after a while, the sun will come up. And after a while, the clouds will fall away. And after a while, you'll come and live with me. How long is this life? Man, I've had to change my mind so many times. I used to think 30 was, terrible old. Then I thought 50 was terrible old. Then I thought 65 was terrible old. And then I'm not going any further. It is an amazing journey. And you'll change your mind quite a few times on that journey. I've seen a lot. And like David said of old, I've never seen those that are waiting on the Lord go begging for bread. That's an amazing thing what God does for us. You look back over your race. You look back over what you've come through. You know, I thank God like the old Presbyterian preacher who was a dyed-in-the-wool predestinarian, and he fell down the stairs and got up and wiped the blood off his face and said, thank God that's over. I thank God sometimes I look back and say, thank God that's over. Thank God that's over. And Paul could have said the same thing. He said, you know, I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been cursed. I've been locked up. I've been laughed at. Man, I'm glad that's over. And he said, yeah, I want to tell you something, and I'm coming to a close. He said, I want you to know there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I don't know what all that means. I know that it means the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's kept. Righteousness, being made right with God. You know, sometimes I'm over my life and my race, there have been times I've been ashamed. Have you? And then there comes that time when there's sweet repentance. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you know the wonderful thing about that, folks? He doesn't wipe out part of that. He wipes out all of that. I'm having a hard time. I've had a hard time over the years trying to understand that fully. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because it's stuck up here in my mind sometimes, I think, how can God do that. But he does. How does he do that? Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did Paul get on the race? He believed in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus was nailed to a tree for him and for the world. And he believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he believed that Jesus was preparing a place for him. Just as he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That there where I am, ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And Thomas said, no, whoa. I don't know where you're going. How can I know the way? Wow, I'm so grateful that he asked that question. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, folks, we could go on about this, but I want to turn back now to Revelation with you just for a moment. I want you to see some of the things that are await us. You look about you today, and I'm sure many of you are missing friends that used to come to Russellville First Baptist Church. Some of you, since last I saw you, have lost some precious loved ones. I've been reading again Vance Havner's little book, Though I Walk Through the Valley. And I like so much to where he says, you know, you haven't lost something when you know where it is. He'd watched his wife go through a terrible illness, and finally, of course, she couldn't even speak, and all of those terrible things. He writes a little commentary on that, and any grieving person should read that book if you can find it. And you look at this and you think about what is awaiting us. Now, what are some of the things Paul saw that he said, I can't write about? I can't talk about. But John talked about it. Look at it with me. He said, a new heaven, a new earth. First earth and first heaven have passed away. He said, there's a new Jerusalem. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 as a cube. He says it is a beautiful. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms, are many mansions. It's there. But I want you to look at this thing that is glittering and wonderful. Somebody said, we run over people to get gold now, and we'll walk over it in heaven, not even give it a second glance. The pearl walls are the pillars of pearl, demonstrating how Jesus died for us on the cross, because a pearl cannot be born without suffering. It has to go through a period of suffering. And so that ought to remind us that when we enter into the portals of glory, it's not because we're necessarily worth it, but it's because of the worthiness of the Lamb. And matter of fact, we're going to sing that song too. And when do, I'm going to be able to sing. And I'm looking forward to that. Well, quickly now, look at some of the other things that he said. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I know in your journey, as has happened in my journey, sometimes you feel as though God's a long way off. He's not understanding all that's going on. You don't look at me like I'm saying something wrong. I know you've thought some of the same thing that I have, and you've gone through it. But he's there. It's just my weakness. It's not God's. It's just my understanding, not God. But God's going to be there. And where God is, where the Lord Jesus Christ is, it's forever glory. Now look at verse 4, and we're just about through. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I read the story of a pastor who had a young boy that had incurable disease and was at the point of death, and the pastor visited him shortly before he went on to die in Jesus. And the young man said to the pastor, he said, Pastor, what's heaven like? And the pastor tried the best he could to describe it. And the little boy started crying, his tears just rolling down his cheeks. And the pastor reached over and rubbed the tears the way. And the young fellow said, "Pastor, just think, the next time somebody wipes away my tears, it'll be God Himself." Now that's a wonderful thing, the thought. No tears. Some of us have cried and cried and cried, but there'll be no more tears there. He said also, he said, there'll be no more death. Death is an enemy. I hate to go to the graveyard, don't you? It's a place that repels most people. And he said, there'll be no more death. That's the last enemy that Jesus will put under his feet, death. Nor sorrow, nor crying. And then there shall be no more pain. I wish I could have hugged that closer to my breast when I was going through some of the most terrific pain I've ever experienced. You ever been to the place where you prayed to die? Just cry out, "God, please, please take me. I can't stand this another minute. Oh, God, take me home." I hope you never are, but if you have, I have, and God's merciful grace. And you know what? I have a hard time remembering that terrible pain. No, it was there. No, it went through it. And that's just a foretaste of what God's going to do in glory. And they shall be His people. The former things have passed away. New heaven. New earth. Peter said something like this, "Seeing these things are to be dissolved," he said, "what manner of people ought we to be then?" He said, "The earth's set up to be dissolved. What manner of people ought we to be?" Well, if I had time to go on a little further in this 2 Timothy, we could also look at what Paul said, even though he's ready to die and thinks it's very imminent. He said, "Timothy, he bring me my books. Bring me my cloak and parchments." He was still studying and preparing and loving Jesus right up to the end. So folks, I don't know where your end's going to end. Your time's going to end. I don't know when mine is. That's a whole lot closer today than it was last time I spoke to you. But you know what? Squire Polishman said it pretty well. "I'm kind of homesick for a city to which I've never been before." Why? Because I get to see Jesus who died for me, who loved me and loves me. How about you? Folks, are you ready if the time comes? I don't care what you've accumulated in this world. You're going to leave every bit of it. The only thing you and I are going to have are those things we sent on to glory and done for Jesus. How much have you done for Him? What kind of treasure do you have in heaven? How many cups of cold water have you given in Jesus' name? How many people have you blessed with the knowledge of Jesus? It's all important. The call says, "For there is laid up for me." And there's another lot of teaching about the things that'll happen when we go to be with the Lord. We're going to have our lives tested, and it'll be a beautiful thing as Christians. Father, only You know the hearts or the heart of anyone in this building today. We may think we know someone, and we may be very well acquainted, but only You know the depths of who we are, for there's no secret hidden from Your all-seeing eye, and there's not one thing that passes by. Even when a sparrow falls to the ground, You understand it, and not one hair of our head will fall without You understanding. I don't understand how You are so great and glorious and powerful, Lord, but I accept that marvelous thing. Now, knowing our hearts, You know those who are right with You and those that are not right with You. You know those that belong to You through the new birth of the shed blood of Christ, and You know those who are not. And if, Father, there's one here this morning who does not know you as Savior and Lord, may they prepare today for that final day when you'll call them out of this world. May they receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Oh, Father, demonstrate your grace again that we might behold your tender mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.